It's the podcast, your favorite podcast. We're recording tonight. We need
it's the podcast, your favorite podcast.
We're recording tonight.
The Last Resort Podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome, everyone. That was beautiful. Wow. That was like our least arduous song we've done so far that took the least amount of tries.
Which is surprising because there were so many moving parts.
Because we didn't have to write very many lyrics. I think that's really what it was.
Freestyle them hoes. Let's go. Let's go.
That was our first motherfucking try.
It is Peyton. He love it.
Well, welcome. And welcome back if you're listening again. We have a new guest this time. Would you care to introduce yourself?
You already know who it is.
You know. Can we get one more for the fans?
The name's Donnie. You can also call me Alex.
Mr. Don.
Mr. Don.
Mr. Worldwide.
I go by a lot of names.
Many names.
It's a pleasure
man.
To be here.
Sweet cheeks.
Sweet cheeks are definitely.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
We are so excited to have you.
Yeah.
I want to thank Ja for all the great opportunities for me. Yeah.
You can use this platform for good. You can really speak your truth.
Yeah.
Exactly. Some podcast lores, Alex has been our studio audience before.
I have.
Yeah.
For a long time ago.
The real ones know that.
Only the real ones.
In this same room.
Look at us now.
At the same time. Different
He made it to the top of Everest.
Man, this is higher than Everest Bros on the space station. Let's go. Well, today we got a lot of interest in this episode, I think, just from our question asking and people telling me throughout all time and eternity so far. They would like to see the FLDS, which stands for Fundamentalist of Latter-day Saints. Should we just get right into it? Did you guys have anything you wanted to talk about?
I'm hungry for this story.
I just have a question. Did we gain any Instagram followers after the last one? Because I feel like we plugged the Insta a lot.
I think two.
Fuck
Justin
yeah.
and
Let's
Amy.
Go.
But
we had, oh, that's like 20%.
I think we had like, let me see how many listeners we had in the last one so far. I think it said our audience is like 60 or something.
Was it doing well?
Guys, 60 concubines. People actually listened. Like, they didn't drop, like, 25% of the way in this time as much.
Oh, hell yeah.
Probably because they weren't hearing.
Probably because it wasn't a wind tunnel.
Yeah, probably.
So, sorry.
Maybe don't do that in the mic anymore.
Yo.
I can't pound on the desk.
Okay,
you can make ASMR noise.
I don't know where I found. Oh, 65 is our estimated audience.
Cool.
Senior discount. Thank
Let's
you.
Let's get four more. Let's go.
I know. The early bird special.
Yeah. I get here before 5:30 and you can get the prime rib and a side.
The side of Peyton's ass.
Yep.
Wow.
No, that's the prime rib.
Way to objectify me.
I mean, how could I not?
This episode today is all about objectification. You'll come to learn. Did you have anything you guys wanted to cover, though?
No.
Shout out to goats. I fed some goats today. Shout out to all our goat listeners today.
Enough with the goats.
You guys, the real.
I
goats.
Will never end with the goats. Leave the goat phobia at the door, Whitney.
I don't have goat. I don't have gobia.
I do. Gobia. They freak me out. They've got satanic eyes.
They do. They are
like
freaky,
it.
Freaky
Listen,
little guys.
Yeah, their teeth are kind of scary.
They are. And when they scream.
Smile.
Yeah. And when they scream.
I like the goats that can climb trees, though.
Yeah, those are cute.
That's some crazy. Like the
them.
Goat yoga thing.
That's
I know
fun.
Some people in our circle like that, but that sounds a little scary.
Really? I would love to do
you
that.
You out my circle now, though.
Yeah. Just kidding.
I went to the goat yoga. Nobody there knew you.
Yeah,
what
a called
coincidence.
Goat yoga is just called Go-Gurt.
Nice. Go-Gurt.
Baby saying on
Go-Gurt.
The Go-Gurt.
Go-Gurt Boba. Well, I don't have any. I want to preface this with saying we all got inspiration for this episode by watching Be Sweet, Pray and Obey on Netflix. If you have not watched it, shame on you. God will smite you.
But is there any shame on me? I've only seen 3 episodes.
I mean, unrelated to the show, or there is shame?
Okay. Like in general.
I've only seen 3 episodes, so spoiler alert, you're getting it spoiled.
Okay.
Can we just mute Chris's headphones the rest of this? Okay.
I feel like he'd be just as surprised and shook if he...
Oh yeah,
regardless.
I go into more description
when he learns this information.
Yeah, he's gonna learn it anyway.
I go into much worse.
Exactly, he's gonna learn it at some point.
He doesn't get to hear the
Oh,
but
fuck. Ew, no, this, I think we you still need to subtitles. Watch the episode,
Chris. I definitely would subtitles. Have to still watch it.
Anybody listening, I just want to kind of do a little bit of a trigger warning. This episode is going to be super dark, very gross in a lot of scenes.
There's probably some sexual assault you talk about?
Some sexual assault?
It's all sexual assault. I didn't write
it. God damn it, boy. I thought you did. What am I reading?
That's all of Keep Sweet, too.
It's fucking disgusting, and I make a lot of jokes, like in the Scientology, about LRH being sick. I don't think being dope. I don't think I make one about Warren in here. Fuck Warren. Fuck you, Warren.
Do you have anything to say about Roland?
Rulon's kind of chill.
Really? Dude had like 60 wives.
He's got good vibes, though.
He passes the vibe check, bro.
He repealed the word of wisdom so he could drink, okay?
Okay.
I respect a sick boozer when I see one. He would take water bottles full of vodka and they'd be like, don't touch grandpa's water.
No way.
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
Quick anecdote about the word of wisdom really quick.
Epic.
Do you guys know that it actually coincidentally when Emma Smith started complaining to Joseph about how she hated how his cronies were drinking and smoking and spitting tobacco in her house, yep, that God told Joseph that it's okay because he put on in death.
That's kind of like didn't that same thing happen with like polygamy where it's like,
Chris, I'm gonna cover that. Quit spoiling it.
Oh, sorry.
God damn you. All right. Well, let me start with an introduction on what FLDS means, how it came to be, and what it consists of today. I'll mainly be covering the main FLDS faith that follows Warren Jeffs, but let it be said that there are quite a few offshoots like the Kingston Group, hint, 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 the Apostolic United Brethren, and many more. Also, apologies if I'm a little out of order on this. I mostly just wanted to research questions that I had whilst watching the show. And so everything I discuss is just what I feel was most pertinent and interesting. It's a little time stream wise is a little out of order, but it covers a lot. So I could fit this into one episode rather than two. No more suffering through two episodes. Sorry, everyone.
You got like the scatterbrained professor vibe going on.
Yeah, yeah, what can I say, bro? I'm about to present a new iPhone. Let's go. I sourced my information from lots of sources, primarily from the book Prophets Pray by Sam Bowden, the lead investigator. If you watch the show, he's the guy with the mustache. He's got a picture of John Wayne in the background.
Okay. I like the guy who like looks completely different when he was younger, you know? Like he was like the reporter, and then then he's got the beard, and he's like...
Yeah, now he looks a little strange.
Yeah.
I also got it from Wikipedia, so sorry to all the teachers out there. Sorry, Mr. Don. And a lot of coverage from ABC, KSL, NBC. So first of all, again, plug in the show, Netflix, Be Sweet, Pray, and Obey. Fantastic insight into the lives of members.
Side note. It's called Keep Sweet.
Keep Sweet.
What did he say?
Fuck, be sweet. Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey, which is a fantastic insight into the lives of members and the rise of Warren Jeffs into power and a little bit about Rulon. What I try to cover today, like I said, is just some of the things while watching the show. I naturally had questions, and Rochelle watched it with me. We both were kind of like, where did the FLDS start? How did it get to where it is? How do they have so much money? That sort of thing. And we'll be going over, I guess at least I will, our personal experiences seeing and meeting people from the FLDS. And rest assured, it will be quirky. So come along.
Take our hand.
Take our hand.
Be sweet. Sorry, stay sweet.
Yeah.
Keep sweet.
Keep sweet. Fuck, we can't get away. I mean, shush.
Fetch.
That's too far.
Oh, God damn it. Oh.
I noticed you're wearing red, Chris. Care to explain yourself?
Oh, shit.
Fucking idiot. So are y'all ready for a quick history lesson?
Yes, sir.
Heck yeah.
Mr. Don, thank you. So let's go over a quick history of the FLDS cult. Church. Not going to call it a cult. Not going to. The church had humble beginnings as a small group of people who opposed the LDS church's banning of plural marriage by the then prophet, John W. Taylor. Well, it wasn't him that banned it, but it started with him, who at the time, in 1886, was a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in the LDS Church, and later the Prophet, during potentially the rockiest times in church history. He was the president of the church when the U.S. government declared polygamy to be illegal, shout out to Chris, and he did not like that. He got him some hoes, he could not turn him away.
He opposed it so much so that he first moved in with his sister and no wives so that they couldn't tie him to polygamy and to not show favoritism to one wife. I'm like, gotta pick your favorites, you know what I'm saying? Warren sure does.
And Rulon.
And Rulon, I mean, you know, they got long foreheads in this sect.
They really do. Just a quick side note, like, fuck Rulon. He was like 90 years old with a 19-year-old wife. I think that's fucking gross. And I kind of hate him.
19, bro.
Still, she's over 18, but still, dude.
No, there were some 17, 16s.
Oh, shit, really?
You're giving him too much credit here.
Okay.
Uncle Rulon fuck with the bitches, man.
Yeah. Warren was probably worse.
It's not.
I don't even know the worst of Warren's.
There's, like, no fun stories about Warren. There's some, like, ooh, don't drink Grandpa Rulon's fucking water. Turns out it's vodka.
Yeah.
Sorry for the brain damage, kids.
Yeah.
Yo, Warren's is that like. That happened with my actual grandma to my dad. Nice. He thought it was water, and she drank it. Oh, and it was fucking vodka.
That happened to one of our friends too.
That happened to my brothers when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So the government was eventually so hot on their tail that ye olde John Taylor in 1885 had to go underground to avoid being detained. For 2.5 years, he had to preside over the church via proxy in hiding, much like Warren Jeffs would later. Not coincidence. Thank you. It was during this time of exile that fundamentalists claim he would receive the 1886 revelation. This revelation was brought up after his death in 1907 by his son, and there is much dispute as to the legitimacy of if it was written down by John W. Taylor or if it was fabricated by his son. The revelation says as followed. My son John, you have asked me concerning the new and everlasting covenant, how far it is binding upon my people. Thus saith the Lord, all commandments that I give must be obeyed by those calling themselves by my name, unless they are revoked by me or by my authority. And how can I revoke an everlasting covenant? For I, the Lord, am everlasting, and my everlasting covenants cannot be abrogated nor done away with, but they stand forever. So they use this saying that, I mean, the LDS Church claims this is completely illegitimate and it was cast aside. So
okay.
The church said this was illegitimate for a time, but it was picked back up in 1912 by a man named Lauren C. Woolley. And that sounds like a nice guy to me. Like that name? Lauren C. Woolley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Lawrence.
Yeah. Woolley and his followers would claim that his 1886 revelation precludes the 1890 revelation that plural marriage was no longer needed by the LDS Church. But at this point, the LDS Church was excommunicating people right and left. Anyone still practicing or involved with polygamy was gone. And so these outcast members found themselves in a community known as Short Creek, Arizona, or as they call it, Short Creek or the Crick.
The Crick.
The Crick. This is where the FLDS Church started and remains intact today, as well as, of course, several other prominent locations.
Maybe I'm jumping forward too much, but are there still people that live in Short Creek? That are FLDS?
Oh, yeah.
Like still?
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit about where we are now and
where
the Crick is at today.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Keep Sweet was like taking place?
Yes. Okay. And it turns out there's kind of a twist that they never mention in the whole fucking show about Short Crick.
Really?
The founders created a group that I'm not fucking kidding. They called the Council of Friends.
Oh, that's us.
Oh, yeah. Flash, Superman, they're all there. It's crazy. This group consisted of 7 men, totally straight, who were said to be the governing body of the priesthood for the whole world. Needless to say, this was considered epic. I wrote that down right there.
Epic.
They went on to have lots of schisms, which led to several polygamy practicing sects. That is a mouthful of the LDS faith we have today. The actual FLDS, Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, term did not come out until around 1987 in a lawsuit. And by that time, they had gone through 6 prophets, an FBI raid where the entire populace of Short Creek, Arizona, including 256 children, some of whom were never ever given back due to custody, due to proof of abuse, 110 officers attended this raid. So the entire populace of Short Creek, over like several thousand people, I think, was arrested. Because at the time, it was literally just FLDS people. Yeah. And Short Creek's really isolated. The nearest big city to it, is Kingman, Arizona. No, Kingman. What? Vernal's north. This is right, Arizona.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Kingman, Hurricane and St. George. Hurricane and St. George aren't that. They're far. They're like 2 hours.
But oh,
like,
they're the closest. Oh, shit.
Kingman's like an hour and a half or two. And Kingman's nothing anymore.
That's why, isn't that why the plagues are always in St. George?
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
My boss said when he used to live in St. George, he was saying that he would always see the polygamists at Costco because they just got a main
bowl. Yep.
That they do.
Yeah, and they have to attend all sorts of like specific places. Like they have specific dentists, they have specific doctors because they value anonymity. They value being anonymous.
Oh, there you go.
Over everything because they can't provide their real last names and shit.
Mm.
Yeah, because they're like fake married. Oh,
yeah,
and all that
yeah, that's right. I will say Short Creek is like pretty. Like that big rock structure, but like that they always show whenever they show Short Creek, I think is really cool.
It's gorgeous.
It really is.
But it's kind of silly of what Brigham Young thought about it. Anyways, they were arrested and detained for practicing polygamy at the time in 1954. And they were also found. The police officer there at the time was stripped of his rank because he hid like hundreds of assault rifles up in the cliffs and they found them.
The police officer did?
Yeah, because he was FLDS.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So that I think this should be enough distant history to kind of get us up to speed. I mainly wanted to cover this because the show didn't cover the history at all. You just jumped right into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was kind of what first had me curious. If I'm like, how the fuck did they get to Rulon?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy how they didn't talk about Colorado City either, because isn't that another hub?
Wait, so isn't Colorado City like the same thing as Short Creek?
Yes! That's what they never mentioned, and yeah. I did not know that whole time.
It's all the same? Yeah, yeah. Tell them.
So Short Creek being right on the border with Utah technically makes up two cities. Hilldale, Utah, and I have been there, and formerly Short Creek, Arizona. But it's now called Colorado City, and it was called that right after the raid because it was so much negative press for the city, for both Arizona, the state, and because what happened is just like the Texas raid, there was so much negative press against the government because you see all these moms crying without their kids that are going to go get raped. It's so fucked. Fuck them. And everyone's like, oh, those poor, sweet Dahmer party looking fuckers out here crying their way. And that's what happened in the 50s is all the negative press was on the government, even though there was so much proof of child abuse, neglect, molestation. But the government, it was bad, so they renamed it Colorado City so people would forget about it.
Yeah, it's nuts that they named it Colorado City, like in Arizona, next to Utah.
Yeah, it's fucked, buddy. They do claim it's Holy Land based on a quote from my favorite, if you know me, Brigham Young, said, "This will someday be the head and not the tail of the church. This will be the granaries of the saints. This land will produce in abundance sufficient wheat to feed the people." So, I don't know if you've seen the terrain in Short Creek, either in person or in Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey. You can tell immediately Brigham Young is not either does not have eyeballs or is just a horrible botanist. But I should say not all practicing fundamentalists live in Short Creek or Utah, and many live throughout the Intermountain West, Idaho, Arizona, Colorado, even into Mexico and Canada.
I would imagine Idaho's like I would imagine Idaho's like the second most, or if not the most, really?
Arizona and Colorado have a huge population.
Really? I feel like that's surprising. I feel like Utah and Idaho would have the most.
And Texas.
Why do you guys think they don't like the East Coast? Do you think that
they gotta compete with the Amish?
People are too mean. Oh yeah,
I just think they can't get enough property out there.
That's true.
And they're super poor.
Or why don't they just go to like Kansas or some dumb place? Just kidding.
Damn, cause
we've got to get a bunch of hate mail. Yeah,
cut it.
I will cut it.
Future Whit.
I think we have an office in Kansas, and I'm like.
Whitney's fired.
You're doxxed. You're doxxed.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Whitney's walking in. They're going to hand her a box, like, go.
Walking into my office in my house.
Yes.
You're doxxing yourself. They know where you work and live now. Fuck.
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
So, let's go over some figures in this church you probably already know of. Warren Jeffs and his predecessor / father, Rulon Jeffs. Fucked up individuals, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. They're not great. They could do better. The book I'm sourcing has a lot of information. This Prophet's Prey book. I read most of it. The private investigator brought a lot of light about this and being behind the curtain in the FLDS sect. He said he thinks he's the only person besides Warren Jeffs to have read all of the text Warren Jeffs has ever written down. Over 11,000 pages.
Jesus.
Crazy. Yeah. Unfortunately for my eyes and brain, this book was very detailed on the disgusting things that happened to people in this cult than the show was, and the show had some pretty blood-curdling parts. Again, please, for the love of God, watch the show. This will fill in a lot of gaps. I just want this episode to compliment it, so please fucking watch it. And if you don't...
Spoiler alert.
And if you don't, I will find you. And I will spoil your whole life.
Oh. Oh, no.
We got someone here who hasn't seen the fourth episode.
I know. It's about to get spoiled for me.
You motherfucker. I hate you. Spoiled. Well, with that said, spoiler warning over. We will be discussing some of the most important details and moments from the show. So if you don't want them spoiled, go watch it and come back. Not my problem.
Yep.
You can come back right now. We'll give you a 2-second pause. Okay, continuing now. In 2003, a member of the faith brought a massive property just outside of El Dorado, or as they call it, El Dorado, Texas, which they claimed would be a hunting retreat. Turns out they were, in fact, a lot of predators on the property, so not wrong.
Yeah.
Bazinga.
What'd they call it? They called it Zion, right?
Yeah, they call it Zion. The Texans call it El Dorado, which I think it's kind of funny, the symbolism there of like El Dorado, the city of gold, and Zion, not related.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
On Warren's command, they started moving select individuals to this ranch in Texas they were calling Zion. And you were so lucky and exalted to go there and perform free manual labor day in and day out in the desert, building a massive temple, housing ranches, mills, dairies, and more. I mean, they pretty much did that in Arizona anyways, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, like, now you get to do it in Zion.
Yeah.
Zion. They are known for providing cheap labor because they use unpaid children. I put a lot of hearts here and said I respect the hustle there, no lie.
Oh, God. Child labor, bring it back.
Minecraft is proof the children yearn for the mines.
Staffing shortage, it's a perfect time.
Yep.
They're builders by heart.
Bring them back. I got the black lung.
Just tell them it's Legos.
Yes. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
Come Let's on. Shark Tank this shit. Mark Cuban?
Yeah. I'm in.
And for the reason, for the child labor, I am out.
Can't relate. Anyways, that also says anyways there in all caps.
Oh, wow.
So they moved to this new community in Texas where they pretty much were their own little city. They had no outside involvement almost whatsoever. They received shipments in, and that was about it. As you find out in the show, and as well as any research you do, this did not come with a lack of problems that would later bite them in the ass in a major way. They found out the hard way, don't mess with Texas. Yeehaw!
Absolutely never.
Never, ever. But what's striking about their dear leader, Uncle Warren Jeffs, when you see him or hear recordings of him speaking, he's not charming, he's not intimidating, he's not good looking, or otherwise special at all.
I hate his voice, dude.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Remember you have such
children of God.
Yeah, wow, that's creepy. You're just like Buffalo Bill.
Yes, that's true.
Children of God.
We should splice mine and Whitney's together and just see what happens then.
That's disgusting.
I think it was Whitney said something about Warren Jeffs and ever. Like, you said it before I watched the show, and when I started watching it, I couldn't get it out of my head. It's what he reminds you of. Or like what he looks like. Do you remember? a creepy Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Luckily, Bob Saget's voice didn't sound like that.
Yeah. No. Thank God.
What a beautiful voice.
Dude, you sound just like him.
Thanks, bro. It's just strange because every other cult or church or anything we've covered, their figureheads are always like the same.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Jones, yep. L. Ron Hubbard, Joseph Smith, all great conversationalists, enticing in presence, intimidating either in stature or in speech and influence.
Yeah, your textbook exuberant. Psychopath.
But, ooh, I like that. But
what was it, Donnie?
Exuberant?
Ooh.
Can you spell it?
Exuberant.
Thank you.
Can somebody fact check that?
I'm pretty sure that's what it means. I might be thinking of a different word.
I think it was sexy, though. But I don't think I'm taking liberties when I say Warren Jeffs is a fucking dweeb and doesn't even look cool enough to shop at Old Navy during the 4th of July. Doesn't even talk well enough to teach middle school math, bro. Like, he's got no drip. He's got no sauce.
Absolutely.
I hate him. No, don't.
He only got dry rub.
So how does he have this authoritarian wit? How does he have this authoritarian presence over hundreds, thousands of people? I'll tell you, because Warren was conniving. He's a little weasel fucker. He had set a plan in motion that it appears he'd been cooking for years before Rulon's death, before even the prophet before Rulon's death. Rulon was said by ex-members to be approachable, reasonable, somewhat worldly, and somewhat understandable of people's problems. Warren, on the other hand, was cold, calculating, and truly believed himself to be above all laws, practices, and previous restrictions that had been on Rulon and other prophets. Warren ruled strictly by posterity. He was the son of whom the community considered to be the best prophet they had had to date, and even the last prophet. He ruled by removing any ideas of disagreement or dissenting. There was no questioning Warren ever under any circumstances. He wanted to make sure no outside influence could sway people, even young children who were ordered taken out of public schools and all homeschooled. And that has happened twice in the FLDS. So it was like Rulon took them out, and then they started going back, and then back even stricter. Individuals have come forward saying that Warren had his face plastered on everything in every school.
Jesus. Whenever someone did, like, go against him, wouldn't he just say, like, I won't do the voice again. Wouldn't he just say, are you going against the word of God?
Damn, that was more like Voldemort.
I guess that's true.
The boy who lived.
Yeah.
Come to die.
But when you say that, like, someone's like, hey, is that right? He's like, are you questioning the voice of God right now?
Are you questioning the voice of God? Yeah, it was more so like, you are questioning the voice of God. And your whole family will be swallowed in hellfire, which is a phrase he likes to use a lot.
Ooh, hellfire?
Hellfire. Shit fire, boy.
Swallowed in hellfire or just hellfire?
Swallowed. And your whole family will be thrown into hellfire. He says like a lot. Yeah, he swallows a lot, though.
I know. He's not a spitter.
He's in prison now, so I bet he does.
I bet he does.
Dude.
I hope he got the shit kicked out of prison.
I'm sure
He's quirked up individual.
I know, child molesters don't really do well in prison.
No. Neither do tax evaders. Fuck him. He's both. He had his face plastered on everything, though. I saw some pictures. Math books, history books, science textbooks, anything. You name it, Warren's face was on it or in it. The children were taught, in fact, that Warren was the supreme controlling force over the world we inhabit. They were taught that he was the current president of the United States and controlled all natural disasters.
Oh, man.
When Katrina devastated New Orleans right before, it was either right before or right after he came, Warren claimed he directly caused the hurricane to devastate the sinners.
Oh, my God.
He's rad. They also taught that man never... This was Rulon's idea. Man never landed on the moon because it was cursed, and God guided Neil Armstrong away from it.
Where did they end up then?
They just came back. So it's to me, it's saying they could have gone there, but the moon is cursed.
We chose not to. We came back not because we couldn't, because we wanted to.
I literally couldn't find a single explanation of why the moon is cursed. They just say it is.
So they believe the Stanley Kubrick theory, though.
Yeah, I think so. That's a deep cut right there, Whit.
What's funny to me, too, Neil Armstrong wasn't the pilot. I looked that up. I was like, was Neil Armstrong the pilot of that mission? No, he was the captain, but not the pilot. Mm. So, I don't know. They were also taught that when Warren was away, he was inspecting the sins of the outside world as to bestow proper punishment. So when in reality, he was proven to be going to several strip clubs a day, drinking, partying, and staying in lavish hotels across the country. There are even photos of him attending Mardi Gras right after Katrina that he supposedly caused. So it was after.
Fucking hypocrite, dude.
No, bro, he's chill.
What year was Katrina? 2005.
Okay. I also wanted to compare and contrast, like we did with the Scientology episode, with some other practices that we've already learned about, might make it a little easier. So go listen to every single episode, no skipping. Particularly, I'm going to be going over LDS and Scientology compared with the FLDS. The one that strikes me about all of them is the complexity of their inner workings, but they all go three very different ways when doing it. The LDS Church, in my opinion, presents themselves as well-rounded financially as a sign of stability, competency, and almost like, see, we're boring too. Nothing weird about saving money, right? We're just some normal dudes who wear magic underwear.
Normal. Normal. Hundreds of billions of dollars earning interest.
That's normal for a guy like me.
For the second coming.
That's normal for a guy like me.
Wait for it.
Guy like me
I'm
got
excited
hundreds
for
of
the
billions.
Second coming.
Yeah,
me too. I'm
you
excited.
Shouldn't be.
We're going to be burned on the spot.
That's not true. Me, bro.
Wait, are we going to be swallowed into hellfire?
Not me. Not me, bro. I got G's in my closet. Let's go.
You got the jammies on?
I don't got them on, but like I got them accessible.
Locked and loaded?
You've been sinning, though.
No,
living
no, no.
In sin.
No, no. That's not how it's supposed to go.
This is when Peyton breaks.
Yeah. Fuck the rest. I think... I don't know. Do you guys agree with that, though? Like, the church just wants to seem stable, normal, something you can invest time into and not worry.
For sure.
Like, they want to seem...
Well, they make it such a big deal. Like, when you're in it, they're like, okay, everybody says we're not Christians, but we are. And we're just normal, just like all other Christians.
We got Christ on the book, don't we?
Yeah.
They're like, you fucking idiots.
They're like, the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why they don't want to be called Mormons anymore.
Yeah. They want to be called Christy Creams.
This is like it's a quick side note. Where did the word Mormon come from?
The Book of Mormon.
It's a character. It's the person who's transcribing the book in history.
His name is Mormon?
Yeah.
Wow.
He put it all he put like everybody's stories together.
He put it all together. I mean, me and him are pretty much the same.
So did he put the plates together?
Yeah. He's the publisher.
The plates are records that he wrote. To keep posterity of...
He wrote he wrote on plates.
He didn't write the entire thing, though. Like, Nephi wrote something,
no, he,
right?
He is transcribing what they wrote.
Oh.
And in the end, it's him, like, escaping during the whole Lamanites, Nephites thing.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the South Park Mormon episode, like, a few days
ago. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Yeah.
So good. I don't know. I just think their whole thing is to be stable. Meanwhile, the Scientology is the opposite of the spectrum. Like, they flash how much money they have as a sign of superiority, strength over those around them. Like, their buildings are always complex, futuristic, and interesting looking. Everything about them. Everything is, like, automatic, crazy glass sliding doors that go psst and stuff at their temples.
Can you do that one more time?
Psst.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like, they make it well known. They have a lot of money and influence, and they try so hard to project way more than they actually do. They say they have billions, they have millions. They say they have thousands of followers, or they say they have hundreds of thousands of followers when they only have four or five. You know, that's just their whole persona is trying to spread more influence than they actually have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think FLDS falls into like a strange category right in the middle. They're extremely competent when it comes to accounting and money, but they want you to believe the exact opposite.
Yeah.
They want you to think and view them as poor, uneducated pioneers, almost like the Amish in a sense, mm-hmm. when in reality they have a sophisticated network of money being laundered and funneled and accounted for from each and every one of their followers. Thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah, they got to get the food stamps too and all the mm-hmm. government assistance.
Mm-hmm. And they use said followers for cheap and free labor in a plethora of fields, from home building, manufacturing, engineering, police work, firefighters, accounting, farming, medical, you name it, they got it for cheap.
You name it!
Yeah. But, I mean, they'd like you to believe that they're just a bunch of hicks who don't know nothing about no big city terms like tax evasion or misappropriation of government funds, which they have been found to do a lot. Members sign up for welfare after proving they have under a certain income, but as it turns out, they are massively different incomes than indicated to the government, and the church is getting all of it so that these people can file for welfare and government assistance programs, which is sent directly to the church, millions of dollars a year.
Mm-hmm. Plus, like, all the free labor they're getting. Like, they don't have to pay people to do anything.
Exactly. Also, the women get... There's, like, a single mom benefit from the government, single mother.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And technically, all of the women except one wife per man are single mothers.
True.
And so, yeah, and the church... yeah, that was one way they got in a lot of trouble from the government.
That's a huge loophole.
And they say, like, this is what we get since the outside world is so wicked. It's just us taking advantage of them. They have been shown to dupe lending organizations into lending millions of dollars to individuals, which then goes directly to the church, and the church just allows the individual to default and go bankrupt, and the church suffers no consequences because they're like, we'll just take care of you. And technically, they are under like one big organization. I think it's called the UEP. I think I have it somewhere in here, that owns all of the members' property. So if you own property, the church owns it, which is similar to Scientology. But quite frankly, in some circumstances, there are things the FLDS have accomplished that I think the Scientologists couldn't even dream of. They'd be so jealous. They have complete control over several cities to the point where every single member of the police force, firefighters, and mayoral team were practicing members of the FLDS faith and took direct orders from its leadership with no regards from orders from the American government.
Is it, there are more places than Short Creek?
Yeah, I mean, Short Creek and Hilldale, and then there's, what's it called in Texas? And then there's a few places up in Canada.
Weren't there normal people in Texas, too?
Yeah, but they get elected quickly. Whitney, do you keep turning our voices down? I can't hear. Am I scared?
No, maybe your volume's down.
Not mine, no.
Oh, do you not?
No, I'm turning them down when you're talking.
Oh, I'm not that important. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, the cops will be handed subpoenas. They'll be handed orders directly from the federal government, and they'll be like, Uncle Warren, on the phone, just like, Uncle Warren? Oh, no, Uncle Warren says I can't do that. It's fucking crazy. There's videos of cops doing that.
Jesus.
Just wait until my father hears about this. Yeah,
my dad's a lawyer.
My dad's chosen by God.
It's like, oh. My dad's
a prophet.
Yeah, you and 900 other people. Because he has so many children. Scientologists, I think, would kill to do this in Clearwater. Like, they have a huge foothold, and they do indeed control a lot. But not to the extent that the state they're in, this is what happened. The state they're in, Arizona, for the FLDS, relinquished control of a city entirely to the federal government because the police force there could not be trusted.
Wow. Man.
Crazy. And another way I think the FLDS relate to Scientologists is the bullying and stalking they do. They employ very similar tactics to the Scientologists to intimidate people who aren't leaving them alone. One such tactic is the InfoWorkers the FLDS employ to intimidate people. Sam Brower, the detective, details one such enforcer as the primary bodyguard for Rulon, Warren, and oftentimes Fred Jessup, another high-ranking individual, second in command for a long time, quirked up white boy. This guy's name is Willie, or as they call him, Big Willie. He's 6'5 and 300 pounds, a little bit of a BBW. And he's known to think he's much smarter than he is, according to a lot of people. He's known to stalk people beyond even Short Creek and has threatened violence on members, Gentiles, investigators, and government officials alike. One difference between the FLDS and Scientology that makes makes FLDS more akin to the likes of Waco is arming themselves. Willie in particular is said to have a mini fortress with all the windows blacked out due to fear of imminent government interference, and his basement is full of cases of ammo, reloading equipment, gun supplies, and several walls of assault rifles, shotguns, pistols, hunting rifles, and even a Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle, which, if you look back to Waco, by the way, was used to shoot down a helicopter.
Damn.
Yeah, one bullet killed a helicopter, which I think is crazy.
Jesus.
50 caliber bullets are like this big, though. They're like $4 a bullet, and they're like this big. Yeah, they're about penis size, if you're my asshole.
We shooting penises tonight.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. I'll bones you across the table. Willie's brother is also a bit of a fucking idiot. He has been quoted on record saying he would willingly cut the throat of any of the wives if the prophet so gave the order.
Oh, my God.
Any of the wives, including his own. So now here's where I think LRH, Jim Jones, Warren doesn't quite relate. I should say LRH didn't quite relate as hard to this, where Jim Jones did, is debauchery. Mm-hmm. Warren's a fucking horrible person. Mm-hmm. I've gotten that out of the way a few times. Yeah. Can't say it enough. Worst kind of person that we as human beings so far have been able to produce. The fact that we have to share oxygen with him is unfair. to those of us with a soul.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. He's a predator to people of all shapes, sizes, and most abhorrently, ages. Yeah. Where Rulon was shown mostly just to prefer normal women, still very gross and wrong, and was fine with the status quo of what the church was, Warren changed everything to suit his own disgusting, depraved desires. When Rulon died, Warren took the reins of the church and immediately started changing the rules and practices of the church. FLDS women, I mean, you've seen them. They dress like they're straight out of the Dahmer party. They didn't always have to dress that way, which it does cover in the show. They used to be able to dress however they wanted outside of church functions. But once Warren presided, they were forced to dress that way always. I personally believe this is a fetish of his.
Oh.
Ew.
Yeah.
God, dude, he's such a creepy ass.
And this is the reason, I think it's the reason they also are no longer allowed to wear colors of their choice. Only pastels, preferably, this is from Warren himself, in blue or pink shades. No red or patterns allowed. Chris is wearing a red shirt with a pattern.
Shit.
You're out, buddy. But we're all wearing black, so it's whatever.
What's the Chili Peppers?
That's even worse.
Great.
Yeah, these are all.
What's that mean?
These are inbred white people. You think they can tolerate Chili Peppers, bro? No chance. They can only wear pastels. It's pretty yucky. Another rule that was made by Warren for Willen and his cronies is called. I cannot believe they did not cover this in the show because some people from the show said this. Seed bearers, which is exactly what it sounds like. Designated men that were said to carry the seed of a chosen bloodline meant to impregnate women. Charlene Jeffs, Warren's former wife, who was in the show, detailed saying, quote, "It was the responsibility of the husband to hold the hand of the wife while the seed bearer spreads his seed." And
that's like straight up Handmaid's Tale. That's like straight up. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Okay.
So was Warren a cuck?
No, Warren was the one.
He was the one doing it.
Oh
no! Yeah, so
the other husband.
Holy shit!
But okay. I mean, I don't think they were into it. They just had to.
No. In Handmaid's Tale, like the men would have sex with multiple women, impregnate them, and the first wife would have to like sit there and hold the hands of the girl that was like getting raped.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Good show.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty good. It's slow in parts, but it's interesting. It's scary because it's like. Things start off like normal, like not normally, but like small things like banning abortion. And then, and it leads to a fucking society where women have no power.
Yeah. Oh, okay. If that becomes reality,
then I'm a clutch up. Let's go.
Jesus.
This is a reality. This is literally what's happening in the FLDS. They have no rights, no back talk.
Yeah.
Like the women literally are not meant for anything besides to. Give them more children, more women for them to rape. It's disgusting.
Yep. Good property.
I mean, but this is something similar to what we covered. Jim Jones did the same thing. He was well known to have sex with other men's wives, and even a few select members of his friends were ordained to do the same and, like, make the husbands watch.
Goddamn.
Y'all covered this in the episode. I just remembered, I guess, because I love you guys. Another very disturbing rule is called the Law of Sarah. This law was originally established by Joseph Smith, but was used much differently at the time. Originally, it was just used to justify plural marriage, saying essentially wives should get along. That's pretty much like wives should be friends.
Wait, like other people's wives or all of one
all of your wives? Like if I had,
like sister wives.
Yes, the sister wives should get along. And I actually think it's where the term "be keep sweet." Originates something like that to each other.
Yeah, no cat fights.
But Warren twisted this to be completely different, is that wives should have to perform sex acts on each other in order to better prepare themselves for their marital duties.
What?
Fuck,
fucking
dude.
Horrible.
They're like, this is how you please your husband.
Yeah, this is how you please your husband. I mean, we can't, you know. Anyways. A woman who was in Jeff's inner circle for several years before being excommunicated for refusing to participate in this exact thing described the use of the Law of Sarah as being akin to a lesbian sex show, with Warren participating and even sermonizing throughout.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Like, women, saying, like, talking about Jesus and, like, God and stuff. Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was known to do that all the time for sex stuff.
Dude.
And he's fucking... He in women who refused to participate, like this woman here who chose not to be named, were sent away, stripped of their families and children, and were said to be redeeming themselves. No one knows what happens to them. I mean, I don't think they're killed. That's not really the FLDS
MO.
MO, yeah. But they were sent away, and they never. A lot of them were like, "I've never seen my kids again." Look at Charlene Jeffs in the show. She talks about she has like 8 kids and never got to see another one of them again.
Well, yeah, they were taking them to Zion. Like I remember they covered that where it's like they just woke up and their kids were like gone.
She strikes me as so smart. And that's what's crazy to me is like there are smart people in this that just don't see it.
It's like any cult. There's like it's like people you're like, I know you and I respect you. Like, why are you in this?
Yeah. So it's like crazy. They just get, he is just like another one of my personal favorite religious figures who has a college named after him in Provo, Utah. Shall not be named. His name is Brigham Young. Now, if you know me, you know I love him.
You love him. You're the biggest fan. Always have been.
Just kidding. Regardless of when I was Mormon, my whole life I've hated Brigham Young. Regardless of when I was Mormon.
He's the worst. He was creepy even when you're Mormon.
Yeah. I wanted to go over some of the ways they're similar. They're similar in forcing marriage of girls for as young as 12. They both did it. Some on record. I mean, some were on record for Brigham for that. And for Warren, some claim even younger with DNA evidence.
Oh, my God. What?
And they're both super racist. Warren is quoted saying, please, nobody cut this and have me saying it.
Cancel Peyton.
Yeah, this is Warren Jeff saying this. The black race is the people through which the devil has always been able to bring evil unto the earth.
Jesus
Christ. Jeez, dude.
He's not mincing words. Brigham had so... I went and searched Brigham Young racist quotes. I did not have time, space, or inclination to type all of them, or even copy and paste all of them.
There's so many.
Dozens. He openly supported slavery, so there's that. And as for the young girl's marriage thing, it's documented that Warren, on dozens and dozens of occasions, forced girls as young as 12 to 15 to marry men all the way up into their late 80s.
Oh, God.
And often get pregnant just as young. There were girls who, again, DNA evidence, 12 years old having babies. It's fucking horrible.
Disgusting. Yeah. It was in the documentary, The Keep Sweet. It was so crazy seeing like the pictures of like 14 to 16 year olds who had just given birth. I'm like, dude.
There's one that they show of Warren kissing a young girl. It turns out she's 12.
It's
in that.
So gross. Oh, she looks so young.
God. Yeah. Like, even the ones of like the girls that were over 18, but like kissing Rulon, it's like, dude, that's a teenager. And that's like her great grandparent. It's so gross. Dude,
the part about Rulon where he.
Let's do a little love making.
Yeah, when they did a little love making, and then like, he's like, okay, now I'm going to piss myself.
Yeah, he can supposedly perform on top, so he's doing the work, but can't walk to the fucking bathroom.
Yeah, that takes it all out of him, all the energy he's been saving for the entire day.
Damn, that's.
What a pisser.
That's real shit. Ew. I respect it.
Got him.
I mean, again, Brigham wasn't such a bad guy. All he did was a man brought him a girl who was 12, and the guy wanted to marry her, and Brigham said, you know, his quote is, let her grow up a little.
Oh, my God.
And the man returned just a few months later, just 2 days after the girl turned 13, and Brigham Young ordained the marriage.
Holy shit.
And she had a child 9 months later.
Oh, my God.
Way to go, you sick fuck. If you're hearing this, Brigham, you the ops.
Yeah, pull up.
Yeah, everybody cease going to the Lion House. It's a bad place. You guys ever been there?
No. Yeah, didn't we go one time?
Dude, no, we went somewhere else. No, the Lion House is the one back in my young days, girls would have their 8th birthday parties there, and you'd have this weird little like pioneer experience, and you'd play button, who's got the button, and then you'd make your own taffy, and they had these little finger sandwiches.
Button, who has the button? Does someone just like hide a button, like who has it?
Yeah, literally, it's like you sit in a circle, and you're like, button, who has the button?
Oh my God.
Someone has the button.
Weird.
Okay, like, not me.
Yeah. Are you sure you're not FLDS?
Who, me?
No, that was us mainstream Momi.
Okay, yeah, isn't that used to be Brigham Young's house? And yeah, it's like a buffet downtown. Or something. Yeah. I've eaten there once.
They got some good like bakery stuff.
They got the Coca-Cola hot dogs. They're pretty good.
Oh. What?
You heard me. They got sauce on them made out of Coke. It's pretty good.
Ooh.
It's like Cafe Rio.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like sweet pork.
A diggity dog.
Oh, wait, what? Is hot Coke
dog,
in the sweet pork
sauce?
Dr.
Inspiration.
Pepper?
Did someone say Dr. Pepper?
No, I thought it was Dr. Pepper that Cafe Rio uses.
Oh, it might be. I don't know.
No, I definitely have heard it's Coke. Okay, listeners, decide.
Let us know.
Yeah. Let us know.
I have any Cafe Real workers that listen to this podcast?
Please tell us. Because now it's killing me.
You'll never know.
I'll never know.
I've heard they use
phones that could tell us, but
I've heard they use Sprite on the chicken too, but that might be fake news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch out for the fake news. Imagine them holding up the sause thing under the drink thing, like sloshing it. Thanks, sloshing. I have the worst segue. I have the worst segue in the history of all media.
No way.
Check it out. Speaking of being 8 years old, Whitney, a woman testified that when she was 8, Warren summoned her into his office and had her sit on his lap. She did not detail what happened, but by all definitions of the law, she said that it was molestation. 8 years old.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
And they never covered that in the show. I'm saying a lot of the disgusting shit he did was just like, a lot of it was like, he forced me to get married when I was like 17. I'm like, that is terrible. But I'm like, this is a child.
Yeah.
I mean, so is 17 pretty much. But yeah. Like 8 years old.
That's child.
Ugh, makes me sick. A shocking thing they covered in the show, but maybe not to the extent that they should have. Here's the spoiler I was talking about for episode 4. Fuck you, Chris. Is the temple beds. In the show, they show one. They go, Chris, just to give you a little rundown, the police raid the compound in Texas.
Oh.
And
El Dorado.
Yeah. El Dorado, you son bitch.
you call me son of bitch.
You son bitch. I knew you was one of them. they go in there and they find up in like the altar room where it would be like a marriage altar for the regular LDS.
Yeah.
They find beds. That it's like exact measurements for Warren Jeffs, and it has mattress protectors on it.
Oh my God.
They didn't, in the show, they show one, but it turns out there's several with different configurations, and all were being used, Warren, under his direct authority to his measurements. He had them put plastic mattress protectors on the sheets to, quote, protect the beds from what would happen on top of them.
Oh my God.
Doesn't he say that in the show?
Yeah, they say that part in the show. But the thing to me was that someone pointed out that, or not someone, but this book pointed out there were several configurations of beds. There was one that was like sort of in the shape of a cross so multiple partners could get on it.
Jeez, oh dude. My
God. They're in the show, Chris, again, there's a horrific part. Obviously can't have it on the podcast. Yeah. I would choose not to even if we could.
Yeah.
Of a recording of Warren Jeffs having sex with a 12-year-old.
What?
Sound.
Fucking 12?
Yeah, 12
years old. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. And, yeah, apparently Sam Brower details it in the book I read, and, like, they obviously didn't show much of the recording in that, but he details that he gives a full sermon. It's fucking disgusting.
Jesus. How'd they get a recording? Was he recording it?
So when they go into the temple, they break into a vault in the basement that has
LDS,
FLDS, all the way back through time, are really known for having fastidious record taking. They are known to take records of everything. It's why there's so much, which is kind of cool, I think.
Family history
of like, it's so cool. I can go back and read my great grandpa's journal from World War II gets put in stuff like that, like crazy amount. They have the same thing. And because they couldn't take any government records, obviously, of marriages, they'd make their own records proving Warren Jeffs married to Susie Smith on this day. And you look at her age, she's 12. And he would have audio recordings of the sessions so that he could play them back.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I just got, like, horror chills. That's fucking horrible. I told you, this
is, like, really hard to read and write is not good.
Oh.
He's a disgusting piece of shit.
He is a piece of shit. He is garbage. He's worse than garbage. Shit
kicked out of him.
Dude, I hope he like lost all his fucking teeth.
Where's he in prison?
He lost all his weight. Texas.
Yeah. Oh wait, I thought he was in Utah. I thought we were driving through the middle of Utah and you're like, oh, Warren Jeffs is in there. Or some FLDS guy was in there.
Maybe.
Were you gaslighting me, Peyton?
That's just called lying, not gaslighting, but okay. Now I'm gaslighting
you. Didn't he? But does he, even today, he still like runs things from prison,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, and I get into that.
You're getting into that? Okay, yeah. My bad.
No, you're good. Segways. What's sad to me is these members, and I have known some personally, nice people, good people, they don't know that they're doing anything wrong. Like, they genuinely have never been exposed to the outside world.
And so they don't know that there's a law under 18. In this book, the one such story that Detective Sam Brower, it's how he first got involved with the FLDS. A man that in the show they detail when all those men were shunned from the church.
Oh yeah.
One of them put it in the newspaper saying, "I need help." And that's how he found him. Came forward and he detailed how him and his wife wanted to marry a specific girl. Both of them were on board. The girl was really excited about it. He was really excited about it. The wife was really excited about it. All consensual, but you can't consent when you're under 18. She's 16. And he had no idea. None of them did, as they claim. He said, through all my years of law enforcement and everything, I can tell when someone's lying about something like that. It's like these people were genuinely dumbfounded that they couldn't get married. And they kept being like, "We just want to get married." And he'd be like, "I will not help you unless you fully agree. You will not get married until she's 18, nor will you touch each other or see each other." So good on Sam Brower. He seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
I like his book is genuinely, I'd recommend reading it. It's really.
Did you read the whole thing?
Most of it. It's like 350 pages. I read like 300.
In like 3 days?
Yeah. I started reading it Tuesday.
Jesus.
Yeah. I wasn't very busy at work. I mean, I was.
I was flex.
Crazy. So he comes forward saying that they want to get married and all this, and he also had no idea. Like Sam was describing to them the laws of America, and they're like, "What do you mean America?" And he's like, "This giant nation sprawling around you." They're like, "You mean like Arizona and Utah?" He's like, "No, like the nation." They had no idea that like the United States was this massive entity.
Yeah.
They had no clue, and they had no clue any of the laws around them. So it's pretty crazy. They were never allowed TVs, internet, or outside books and magazines, even going as far to specifically ban Motor Trend for some reason. Good for Motor Trend. Like, I want to message them and be like, "Did you guys know you're specifically banned by the FLDS Church?" Why? I don't know. Unrelated, but while reading the book, this is sort of related to, like, the Enforcer thing. I just was reading the book and was at this point and read my favorite term called plig rigs. It was rednecks like in soup duck trucks who would try and chase people out of Colorado City, just like tailgate people and run them off the road. Plig rigs.
Plig rigs.
I fucking died reading that. Plig rigs. Because they hate being called polygamists too. Just like how a lot of like Mormons hate being called Mormons.
Yeah.
Which realistically no one fucking cares. Like yeah. They had a commercial like 5 years
ago. I'm a Mormon.
Yeah. This is my ride, and he's got a private jet, and I'm a Mormon.
Well, it's because freaking Russell M. Nelson, like years ago, he like was saying that he does like people they should like call it by like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and then he finally got the Seat of the Prophet and changed it.
Jesus Christ, our great Lord and Savior.
Yeah, he was inspired by God. I'm sorry.
I'm sure it couldn't be like you guys are weird. I'm like, no. He made fun of me. No segue here, just to hop on right back in. Warren has been not prosecuted successfully, only on some of these, but he was prosecuted successfully for forcing marriages, rape, accomplice to rape, sexual assault, and battery. Good. But they tried to get him on fraud, misappropriation of government funds, and a lot more, but never did. Not like it matters.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just on poor young women. It wasn't just young women. Warren even preyed on little boys.
Oh my God, really? Oh God.
Little boys. They His don't own talk nephew. About that, eh? No, they never talk about this. And there's so much evidence. There's really? Several boys, all in his own family, who came forward. Oh my God. His own nephew accused him and three of his other uncles of systematically molesting and sodomizing him on a regular basis for a long period of time as young as 5 years old.
Oh my God.
And it was like 10 boys that came forward from the Alta Academy.
Fuck.
He said, during, Jeff's would say, "This is God's will. This is God's work," to a five-year-old boy.
Oh, my God, dude.
I pray every day that Warren's holes have been unceremoniously and brutally widened on a daily basis by members of all faiths, races, and beliefs in Texan prisons. Amen.
I could doubt that.
Amen.
Yep.
Fuck him. I hope someone sticks a whole size 13 shoe up his colon.
Dude, he's the worst.
Let it be mine. And he's so racist. I hope there's like a bunch of black dudes, Latino dudes, everyone just fucking him up.
Yeah, I want like a trans woman.
But quite frankly, I feel like he might enjoy it. He's such a sick fuck that like I feel like someone's like, "I'm going to snap this broomstick up in your ass." And he's like, "Oh,
God.
He had a, despite being a sick fuck, he had a network of believers who sheltered him even when he was on the run from the law. He moved across the country for a long time before the FBI eventually got involved and made him top 10 most wanted with a reward of $100,000 for bringing him in. Kind of sucks that to me that a highway patrolman brought him in, because like they don't get no reward of any kind.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, bring him in.
Yeah.
I really hope they roughed him up, you know? They didn't.
But. No, they most definitely did not. But I
in it's a, he's so
in, a
scary,
in a perfect world, they would have.
It's because he's so scary and big. He was eventually discovered on a lonely stretch of freeway, I-15 in Nevada, in the middle of the night. Crony driving around was speeding. To make a long story short, Warren serving 120 plus years in prison. No chance of parole. Mostly for several proven counts of rape, accomplice to rape, amongst other things.
As he should be.
Yeah, that's
Lock
good.
Lock him up.
I was curious what they got him, because I knew he was in prison, but I didn't know what for what. And so...
Accomplice to rape was like the first thing.
I'm glad it wasn't just like, oh, he was taking money from some people, you know? I'm glad it was like the real bad shit he was doing.
Yeah.
They had like evidence for everything he did.
Oh, yeah. Well, recordings. He made his own evidence. That was the thing.
Yeah. Fucking God.
He is, huh? I mean, Unfortunately, putting him away, like Alex said, did not stop him at all from controlling the FLDS community. It has stopped him, hopefully, from preying on people in the same way.
Yeah.
But
that's baffling. How are they still following this man?
He still, to this day, dictates sermons from phone calls to thousands of people. I mean, they have huge ward buildings, 4,000 people in one. It said he's patched in over the church speakers, which actually holds approximately 4,500 people. On his phone calls, and all rules still go through Warren.
Jesus.
Even though there's technically a new president, that's just like a financial headstanding thing.
Do they just say he's like being prosecuted like Joseph Smith was?
That's exactly. So this is a little bit of a tangent, not in my notes, but we took advantage when we built our cabin of some of the cheap labor, and most of them turned out to be fucking pricks. If you're listening, Cedric and Biff, guy's name's Biff. How did we trust him with anything? The only thing that futures. Guy should be trusted is to dive off a high pier into a low well. God. Fucking idiot. I don't know. But the one guy that we have dealt with who's been a consistently really nice, really honest guy and always done everything perfectly, his name is Lamar. And he is practicing FLDS, but not polygamist by choice. Only has one wife, one family who they met consensually, not arranged marriage, and has three kids. Just like a pretty, like, I shouldn't say pretty normal, because he's still kind of like a country, a little bit, I don't know, out there. Mm-hmm. But like, you would never be like, that guy's in a fucking cult.
Yeah.
He's just a nice guy. And we've asked him before, me and my dad, who's LDS, have asked him, like, how do you still believe in this after what Warren did? And he says, I knew Warren. I've never seen him do anything that they claimed. I never saw him with any child brides. And we all believe that he's being prosecuted and persecuted by the Gentile government trying to keep him down, because he said for years he would be.
Yeah.
But he's also said to them, this is not made up by you can find this information. He said that the world is going to end on specific dates several times.
Yeah.
Nada.
The 2002 Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like since then, since he's been in prison, he said 2013, 17, and 19, he said that the world would end.
He was so close to 2020, dude.
I know.
Should've seen that coming, bro.
He probably just couldn't talk to nobody about it. Just kidding. He's been living remote for years. He's used to it, working from home.
Yeah, true.
It's crazy to me, because like he seems like such a level-headed and pretty smart guy. And one of his sons recently left.
Oh.
And
how
like
old?
18, I think, okay, 17, yeah. 18, and yeah. left and was like, I hate you guys, because now I have I have a fourth grade education. I can barely read and write. And jeez. I'm screwed with no connections and no one to help me.
Jeez.
And that's so sad.
My dad helped him like find a job and gave him some money and stuff, but I don't know. It's really sad. Luckily, again, Lamar, our guy, because they tell you when someone leaves, you're supposed to cut them out. You hate them. They're dead to you. Mm-hmm. Lamar has kept in good touch, and they're still in good faith, I guess. It took like a year for them to be friends again, because the son hated them, but like...
Yeah.
Very sad to me. I don't know.
It just tears people apart.
Yeah.
Ugh, so many lives. It's so sad. I mean, and the Lost Boys, I don't really cover the Lost Boys in there that much because they cover it pretty well.
Yeah.
My brother Tanner, shout out to you if you're listening. I know you're not. Fuck you. had a friend who he recently went out to dinner with, a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
And this kid he had known for like 15 years who... he was talking about saying, I should also mention this, all the people in the show named Wall are my direct family. Mm-hmm. Lloyd and Myrna, the old people, Alyssa Wall, all of them are my mom's like cousins. So my second cousins. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But Tanner was saying this, and the other guy goes, you ain't got nothing on me. And he's like, why? He's like, I am literally Fred Jessup's child. He's like, I was in it until I was 18 and I was kicked out. He's in the documentary as one of the Lost Boys sitting on the Capitol steps.
Wow.
Crazy. And Tanner had no idea because he changed his name and everything.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Was your mom ever around any of that shit? Like was she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Not around that, but no. Like she saw it.
Yeah.
Because my grandpa is like not religious at all.
Okay.
He's very science first.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart dude. He is horrible with talking to people because he's so smart, to be honest.
Yeah.
But anyways, not related. It's just, like you said, it's crazy that he can control all these people through a fucking phone in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And sing hymns with them and be there for them is disgusting. In his youth, he's always been about power from the time he was a child. He was known to be Ruan's favorite son his whole life. He was therefore untouchable. His whole life, never had rules, never had punishments. In his youth, all the way up to graduating high school, he was known to be terrified of talking to women. Warren actually went to a public school until he graduated from high school.
Wow.
I never learned what one, though. I was curious. I should look more into that.
Yeah, because they were in Salt Lake, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. They lived literally...
Like down the road here.
4 minutes from here.
Yeah, because their like community center was by the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon. Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and I give the exact location here. During this time period, he was known very well for hiding from women, crying, and at one point wetting himself because he was too scared to ask to go to the bathroom because his teacher was a woman. This was in middle school, by the way. This was like ninth grade. Like, this was not like a little kid. He wet himself at the table because he was too scared to raise his hand.
Fucking Burge.
Fucking pussy. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna slit your throat. Sorry, too soon. But him being scared of women also did not mean that he was not interested in them. But him being Warren fucking Jeffs, he had to go about it the creepiest way possible. Couldn't ever just be like, hi, Susie. A female relative of Warren's said all the women during his youth that lived in the community had a protocol for when Warren came over. They would tape newspapers over the windows to prevent his lanky ass from looking in and stuff towels under the door to prevent him from sticking mirrors under the door while they changed. His family members. The butterfly effect of this is when it was reported, nothing was ever done about it. Nothing ever. Like, they'd tell Ruan and they'd be like, we're taking care of it, don't worry, and then nothing would ever come of it. According to members of his own family and of his community, Warren has been untouchable and without consequence his whole life, whereas Warren's brothers were generally more strict than the rest of the community and had swift punishment on these strict rules if they ever broke them. Warren experienced only suggestions at best. But he was also a kiss-ass, which by looking at him is not shocking.
No.
You may have gathered by now, he's a lurpy, bony, sweaty, emaciated, uneducated, lanky creep. And what do you do with creeps like that? You make him a principal of a school!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Alex can neither confirm nor deny that. Right after Warren graduated high school, Ruan chose to open a school of their own, free of the teachings of the outside world that existed to twist these poor innocent youths into monsters, aka normal people, Gentiles. So they opened the Alta Academy, and I wanted to talk specifically about the Alta Academy in depth because it is literally less than 5 minutes from where we are currently sitting. It was created right at the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon, like Christopher said, which for those of out of state is where two of our most famous ski resorts and a lot of our tourism comes from, Alta and Snowbird. They built the school right next to Ruan's massive compound that had a house that was 9,000 square feet, with 23 bedrooms, several kitchens, and then another one that was the smaller house, 8,000 square feet with 20 bedrooms.
Oh my God.
And at the time, Rulon was like rolling in it. He was really rich. He was really high in an accounting firm. He went to college in Salt Lake. Like, he had a full set life with the normal life until he joined the church. Jeez. The academy Rulon built seemed like it was built specifically with Warren in mind, just so he could give him this position of power that he wanted. But he couldn't just give up one of his cronies. You know, he had to make a new one. The Alta Academy was where Warren took off. At just 20 years old, with no college education or teaching credentials of any kind, that's got to piss you off, Alex, bro. Come on. Warren was now principal over an impressionable group of children of all ages. And this school is actually a little different from current FLDS standards, because there were over 100 families with children that attended this school, but they did not all live in the compound. They had normal houses and normal neighborhoods with mostly normal lives. I mean, that's not to say the school wasn't unique, air quotes. The school had full-time midwives with birthing rooms in it. What kind of fucking school has that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, again, they're cattle to them. You know, it's horrible. And the fact that they have, like, midwives who just do it all the time is insane. In the show, they talk about the one midwife's crying. They're like, there's no such thing as child brides. And one of, like, the girl who is a child bride, she's like, that is literally the midwife who was there while I was giving birth at 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking bitch. And the school, Warren taught almost everything. They had all sorts of normal school subjects, but he taught math, history, geography, computer science, chemistry, and chorus. The days started with an hour-long devotional every single day by Warren. This is also not to say that the kids actually learned a decent education. None of them really did. Many kids still couldn't write full sentences or read very well by the time of graduation. It was said that when a girl could read ingredients on a food, or a boy could use a tape measure and a hammer, that was deemed sufficient enough. And Warren was also the one who would dole out punishment to any perceived wrongdoings. Boys detailed him making them drop their pants in front of everyone, while Warren mercilessly beat them with a yardstick, oftentimes which would break, and Warren would continue using the broken piece. For girls, in my opinion, it was worse. Warren was the dress code enforcer, even though they all wore the same thing.
Yeah.
Girls' detailed experiences of Warren pretending to measure the dress with his hands whilst also moving his hands elsewhere.
Feeling them up.
Yeah, I don't really want to say, but, you know. From the Alta Academy, more boys came forward, specifically his family members, saying that between the ages of 5 and 9, they were repeatedly raped by Warren and several of their uncles. Warren told the boy that this was his secret priesthood initiation, and if he ever told anyone, he, quote, he and his entire family would be plunged into hellfire. So they never came forward until they were 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the four boys that came forward ended up taking their own lives, in their suicide note, citing directly this as the reason. At the time, Warren had two wives and children of his own, yet seemed to feel no remorse after doing something as monstrous as this. I mean, this is a daily basis. He'd go home and have fucking dinner with his wives, and he's a monster. Like, again, yeah. I get someone like LRH, hallowed be his name, is a bastard, but like,
He's not he's not this level.
Not this level.
Mm.
Dude, this is to me like Hitler level evil. I genuinely mean like he's as bad as you can possibly be as a person. Yeah. And I think LRH is just a dickhead, and I think Joseph Smith is just a smart con man.
Also, he was a pedophile too.
He was a pedophile.
Oh, yeah. Married a 14 year old. Yeah, this is true, and I get into that.
I do have a question.
Go for it.
So not to excuse anything he did, because like we've discussed through and through, this man's a piece of shit.
Oh, here we go.
Was there any like evidence of him being abused ever, like when he was a kid?
That's a good
question, and I haven't.
Didn't you
seen
say something? I think said his uncles may have done something.
That
yeah, because like
that would make sense.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's yeah,
often systematic. It, for yeah, most it's like pedophiles.
Cyclical. Yeah,
just these sad. Guys were saying that the other uncles did it. Then.
I'm
Warren.
Sure it was.
I wonder if Rulon and his brothers were.
It's sad, and the book goes into way more detail on what happened to the boys, and the detective made. He was like, I kind of didn't believe them, and the detective made them go back to the Alta Academy once it was foreclosed, and like walk through and get details of the story, and it's disgusting. Oh, just the details are horrible, and I don't want to share them on here.
Yeah, that's messed.
And I mean, there is a lot more I could continue covering, and sorry I covered it out of order as I did. But I wanted to go over some of the questions our listeners submitted.
Yes.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah, genuinely, we really appreciate you guys taking the time.
Absolutely.
It means a lot, and some of these questions to me are clearly so thought out. So nice. It means a lot, and it really helps me focus my research. Like, my Scientology episodes were built primarily around those.
Oh, yeah.
We love our fans.
We love you. So shout out to all y'all. You will get an individual shout out as I go too. First of all, let's start. Are you guys ready?
Uh-huh.
Start it.
Let's start with two questions from our friend Liz, who consistently asks bangers every time.
Blows us away.
My favorite questions from the Scientology episode. So thank you. First one is, what are the similarities between the Amish and the FLDS? I'll admit, I maybe don't know as much about the Amish beliefs as I should for this, although I do know that there are some similarities here. First of all, they're both groups who isolate themselves from the outside world, have their own sets of laws, rules, and absolutely detest the outside world. Both of them refer to the outside world as unclean Gentiles, and they both use their clothes and practices to differentiate themselves from the Gentiles, or English in the Amish case. They call everyone else the English, and they're the Dutch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They both wear clothes that are meant to resemble people from their heritage, pioneers for the FLDS, pilgrims for the Amish, and both split from their original faith because they deem the original as not pure enough to God's word. Because the Puritans that came across originally were not so pure anymore, according to the Amish, so they made their own community that stayed and didn't have technology. They also are both known for skilled manual labor, like building houses and barns extremely quickly and using cheap and unpaid labor to do so. They both also love to isolate people who leave by essentially pretending they're dead, not answering phone calls, letters. I mean, the Amish don't get phone call or letters anyways, but they don't answer them. And I'm sure there's a lot more. I just don't know enough to answer it accurately. Do you guys have any chime in on that?
No, I don't know much.
I love you.
We should have her on and teach us about the Amish. I think she would know more than we do.
Liz, do you know more about the Amish? Because I'm curious.
Is that an East Coast thing?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, they are. That's probably why the FLDS are scared of the East Coast. Yeah. They got beef.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's like the Blood and the Crips.
Yes. There's like the Amish gangs show that's so fucking hilarious.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I also find it funny that they try so hard to escape modernism, but like they have to have blinkers on their buggies and stuff like that. Kills me. Fuck them. What are they going to do? Listen to this? No. Fuck you.
I feel like this isn't the first time that I've shat on the Amish.
I will continue to shit on the Amish. Shit.
Shit.
Me and Chris have been listening to Amish Paradise by Weird Al Yankovic a lot lately.
Shout out to the real one, Al.
Yeah.
My first two concerts.
As I walk through a valley where I harvest my grain.
I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain.
I'm not going to keep going. I could.
That's it. You could. You could do the whole thing.
But I shan't. The second question from Liz, another banger. What are some similarities between Warren Jeffs and Joseph Smith?
Good question.
Man. <Deep breath. laughs> A lot of people are not going to like the answers to this. So, you know, if you're listening, you know who you are. You might not like this. I'll say a lot of the similarities I stated earlier about Brigham Young and Warren could also apply to Joseph Smith. But credit to Joseph Smith versus those two. He pioneered his own thing. He made his own thing.
Yeah.
Warren and Brigham just twisted something else into their own vision and to what it is in today.
Yeah.
Joseph and Warren both had tons of wives. Both of them had child brides. Joseph's youngest, proven by DNA, was 14, and Warren's was 12. Joseph was confirmed to have over 40 wives, and they don't know the exact number. Warren was also actually at 40, according to insiders. So, no coincidence, I think. Both of them hated the government, both state and federal. They both hated the government. Hated them because they were pursuing them, and they were eventually caught. So obviously Warren and Joseph had some beef there. They both were known for having private enforcers who were meant to intimidate and keep order. But as you know, I kind of fought with Porter Rockwell.
Yeah, Porter P. Rockwell.
No lie.
Sorry, side question, really quick. How old was Joseph Smith when he was like in power? I guess you could say.
I think from the time he was in power, like really in power, was like 26 or something like that. Wow. All the way up to like 37, something like that.
Is that when he died?
Yeah, he didn't live 37? That long.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
How old was he when he wrote the Book of Mormon?
They say he was just like 13 years old.
Yeah, he was 14 when he had the first vision. Mm-hmm.
But he wrote it down when he was 25. So
yeah. Wait, what? Okay.
Dude.
I think the plates were like, I think he was like able, like worthy enough to get the plates when he was like 16. And then the Why Book of Mormon was so published long? Way later.
Yeah. Because you got to get the right editor. Take time, bro. Yeah. And they, I don't know. I don't want to shit on Joseph too hard in this episode, even though, yeah. Anyways.
He's worthy of shit.
Yeah. I mean.
But, come at me.
But like, again.
Catch me outside.
Catch me outside.
Joseph, if you're listening, bro, pull up. Even though Joseph was known for being quite the competent fighter. So
yeah, I'm a little too old for Joseph's taste, so I'll just kick his ass.
Yeah, for real.
Bitch.
Bitch.
Oh yeah, I love riled up Wendy.
But we all fuck with Porter Rockwell, though, right?
He rocks our man.
I mean.
He was like a hitman, right?
He was technically a U.S. Marshal who did abide by U.S. laws. And was never married, never did any of that stuff. So I'll give him credit there. He did kill like 40 people.
Yeah, so he did kill a lot of people. But under U.S. law?
All of them.
None of it was murder?
All of them. Because they were either duels. And if someone else initiated the duels back then, you could.
Fucking crazy.
Which is sick. Fine. In my opinion. He is directly where the term fastest gun in the West comes from. Which I find amazing.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. He's pretty nuts. Meanwhile, Big Willie sounds like the only gun in the north, south, westest Utah, Arizona area. Like, it's their only choice. Whitney's flagging for a Big Willie, meaning a penis.
Yeah, it's Peyton's for P-Rock.
Yeah, I got that, yeah. Yeah. Peyton got rock hard thinking about Porter Rockwell.
If I could grow a beard like that.
Peyton got a rock thinking of P-Rock.
Yeah. Straight. Oh, let's go. Got a little Porter on me. I mean, like, Big Willie is their only choice, the only gun. So, you know, good for him, I guess. They both had to lead. This is Joseph and Warren. Both had to lead their respective churches while on the run across the country from the government. Warren sound like it was a little easier. They both were known for being sketchy teenagers, albeit in very different ways. One huge difference between them that I'll give Joseph some credit here. He was tall, muscular, good-looking, and very charming, according to most people. He was a bit of a Chad. Chad Wong. Thank you, buddy. Meanwhile, Warren is a literal human mosquito with the voice that sounds like if a pair of Skecher shape-ups could talk. Fuck you, Warren.
Oh, my God. He is a mosquito.
He is a mosquito. That ringtone.
And to me, it sounds like Joseph just like wanted to party for the most part and was like, here's my good opportunity to make party central and have a good time more than Warren does. Like, you know, he drank, smoked, chewed tobacco, wrestled.
Yeah. Warren ended up doing that too.
Yes, but Joseph didn't hide it. Warren hid the fact that he drank.
Yeah.
Rulon loved booze, quite the enthusiast actually, and partied. And there are more similarities than that, but like, those are my quick draw ones. Mm-hmm. I can't really think of many other ones because Joseph had drip and Warren's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, they like to eat, drink, and be merry, if you know.
Be married a lot.
For tomorrow we die. You remember that one?
They're right on Joseph's account.
That was a scripture mastery.
And they both will die in prison. Fuck you, Warren.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Joseph kind of died out of prison because he was crawling out the window.
Oh, what?
He was trying to.
Oh.
Got shot in the back, as they say. It was a cowardice. All these people, they're like, oh, Joseph, we hate you. And he's like, I haven't done anything wrong. Just fucked all these 14-year-olds, stole money from the government, and had my own organization outside of the control of the federal government.
Yeah.
So they shot him.
Those bastards.
That's fucked. How could they? Those coward guards. And they were like, these two guards that were guarding the prison were cowards for letting these people in. There were only 80 of them with guns. How could they? I'm telling you now, like, were it me, bro, I'd take all 80 of them, bro. Joseph's my dude, bro. Come on now.
Come on.
Speaking of Chad, next question comes from him. Chad, I hope you skipped that section, buddy. Asking, what's their current trajectory? Great question.
It is.
Not a good one is the short answer. Like, it's a short answer. It's not a good one.
Okay. Are they dying out?
They're not dying out. They're dying.
Oh.
Because they're starving.
You know that big ranch, aka Zion in Texas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The government in 2012 seized it as forfeiture, citing it as, quote, a rural location where the systemic sexual assault of children would be tolerated without interference from law enforcement authorities. Therefore, the property is contraband and subject to seizure.
Good.
Texas.
Oh, valid.
Yep. Nice. In 2014, the Arizona Attorney General filed to have the Colorado City/Hilldale, with agreement from Utah authorities, disband the local police force, marshal's office, and other municipal services, including firefighting and garbage in and out. Stating that, quote, the disbandment of the Colorado City/Hilldale marshal's office is necessary and appropriate because this police department has operated for decades and continues to operate as the de facto law enforcement arm of the FLDS Church and its ruler, Warren Jeffs. It now operates under federal monitor for law enforcement and municipal services, which is insane to see the federal government itself essentially run a town inside of a state without state interference. Crazy, especially in Arizona. They hate the federal government and
yeah.
Utah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But as for religiously speaking, Warren's still alive, still supposedly runs things from prison, as we said. He's made several statements saying the apocalypse would be coming, all with specific dates, which came and went with no consequence, and that he would be freed from prison like the biblical Samson.
Oh, God.
And he would always say stuff about fireballs. And have you guys seen any fireballs rain down on Salt Lake City and destroy the Gentiles and the entire LDS church?
Not yet.
I haven't noticed any, but I don't know.
Maybe. Might be hard to miss.
Yeah, that's what I would think. But, I mean, they don't know that.
Yeah.
They're not coming up here, even though they are.
How old is Warren now? Is he like in his 60s?
I think he's like 58.
Okay.
So he's got a long way of getting trains run on him. Let's go.
Let's go.
My thing is, even if I wanted to punish someone so bad, I could not fuck that guy.
No.
I could stomp on his head.
Kick him in the nuts. Wait, so something I just thought about. You never see, like, old people in prison. Like you never see, like, a really, really old man. You never see, like, an 88-year-old in prison, right?
And the one we did got out, Bill Cosby.
I guess I haven't, so I don't know.
I feel like there's got to be some.
There's got to be some.
They probably just don't live for very long.
Yeah. Because that is weird if you're just, like, an old senile man in prison. Because eventually that's what Warren's going
to
be.
They'd probably move them to, like, a...
Like an old person prison?
I don't know. Or yeah. Like a psych, not a,
no,
a psych ward.
He's in a Texas state prison. I was thinking, yeah. When I first heard about it, I'm like, he's got to be federal, getting fucking Xbox and tennis courts and shit. No, he's in, like, from what I've read, a shitty prison in
good.
Texas.
And yeah, I hope good.
It's hot. Not always. As hot as the hell you'll rot in.
Yeah, no AC.
Dirty yeah, he's no getting, AC he's getting swallowed one, in that bro. Hellfire finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sad because he left all his people very poor and continues to do so in Colorado City.
Piece of shit.
And beyond. And Warren keeps telling them he's not out because they don't send enough money, even though they send thousands and thousands of dollars a month, and he does not have an option for bail.
Yeah. Okay, what did that one guy say? He said, like, each week they were sending, like, $300,000.
That's and it's, fucking I don't crazy. Think it's at that height anymore.
No.
There's
no.
less members and
yeah.
shit like that.
But is it to have that amount of income for that long?
Yeah, it's crazy. What's that money being used for? Just to buy him
his debauchery, his strip clubs.
Hooker, he would stay in 5-star hotels.
Oh.
He was going to several strip clubs a day. He was eating in lavish restaurants. He went to Disneyland. He went to the White House. He has the same picture as Pablo Escobar, where he's out front of the White House, like, yep, I'm top 10 most wanted. Come find me.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
I didn't know that Pablo did that.
Yo, Pablo's was hard as fuck. He was number one most wanted.
Crazy.
Yeah. Pablo's hard, bro. Not gonna lie. So yeah, Chad, the trajectory is not great.
Good question, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great question. Next few questions come from our boy Nate. Shouts out. Thanks for the questions.
Nate dog. Nate.
Guys,
wow.
We just harmonized.
Yeah.
His first is, do you think that they have any good practices that they do? And we went over this as Scientology. I felt like Scientology at its very core had, like, quite a bit of, like, eat healthy, practice a healthy lifestyle, be spiritual, be open to new things. I feel the less about it on FLDS.
Yeah.
The only things they do have is, like, the stuff they took directly from the LDS church.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they teach some of the positive stuff because, I mean, they are just a direct split from the LDS church. Most of the stuff they teach is similar. And... I'll say they're also pretty amazing at being self-sufficient. So
yeah, I guess that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them build houses. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. It is also funny to me, like, people were shitting on these kids because they're like, they can't read or write that well. To say a 16-year-old who knows how to build a house is uneducated, though, I don't know. I can read, write, do all the basic scholastic stuff, but I can't build a fucking house on my own. I mean, I could probably figure it out with some YouTube, but these fuckers got it down.
Yeah,
but that's manual labor. I'm not trying to fuck with it.
Yeah, you're not.
I need that book.
But, like, I would say that's an education of some sort.
Did you say, yeah, I'm a girl?
No, I said, yeah, you're not.
Oh.
Yeah, you're like, whamming. I was about to say,
who are you? like the voice and everything. It's like Whitney left and was a new person. You're like, I need the book.
I need that book.
Yeah, not me. I need that book.
Nerd. Nerd.
I don't read
Nerd all. Alert.
But I mean, to say that's a good practice is kind of fucked because they're used as free labor and literally left on the side of a highway in Arizona when they're turned 18 and considered competition for wives. So
wow.
So to say that's a good practice.
Are those the Lost Boys?
Yeah, and it happens all the time. It's not just like the Lost Boys. It happens daily. Yeah,
for sure.
There are literally like people who drive back and forth that highway like once or twice a day to see if there's any boys dropped off.
What do they do if they see them?
They pick them up and help them go get resources.
Oh.
So Nate, quick answer, no. Long answer, not really. Next well question said. Of Nate's is, are there any notable members or former members besides Warren Jeffs? Again, no, not really. If they are, they're notable for being former members and not really anything else. Mm-hmm. It's not like they got a Mitt Romney situation or whatever.
Yeah.
Several of the main dissenters, like I said, are my main family members, so that they're famous for that. Yeah. Being related to me.
True. Like, once this pops off, then they will be famous.
I would kill to interview them. I keep trying to find a way how.
That'd be crazy.
Facebook, bro.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that's true. I'm too scared to get on Facebook. We could.
It's a cesspool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They're all my direct family members. I also would love to interview my brother's friend, like being in it.
Yeah.
And he hates it. So he also was not technically in the regular FLDS one. I guess he was in like a split off one.
Really?
It was pretty close to it. Damn. Yeah. Crazy. Nate's last question. Do they believe in the second coming the same as Mormons? Again, complicated answer. In theory, yes. Most of their beliefs in that regard and any regard to Bible or Book of Mormon issues are similar to the LDS faith because they supposedly believe in those. They're just an offshoot after all.
They think they're following the same stuff that Joseph Smith was vibing with when he was around.
I mean, it is crazy because like there's honestly, if you look at it, there's so few people like prophets wise between Joseph Smith and now. Like I always for some reason thought there were like 30 or 40 prophets.
Because you think of presidents.
Yeah. And it's just crazy. Because some of them, there's one that was like 45 years in the LDS church or something like that. Who's prophet for that long?
Wow.
Crazy.
So how many have there been?
I think, I don't know in the LDS church. In this one, like six.
Wow.
But like some of them only lasted like 2 years in this.
Hmm.
Rulon and Warren are the longest and the original guy. But in theory, they practice that. But in practice, not really. Warren's predicted so many imminent ends of the world in so many different ways of fireballs, earthquakes, hurricanes, flooding, all sorts of crap. And really, the only flooding happened in Colorado City where 8 people were in a van and their van fell into the river and they all died.
Shit.
Dang, bro.
Yeah. So I guess he got that one right.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy because Rulon was, they say in the documentary, supposed to be the last prophet. It said that he wouldn't actually die, but would be reborn a younger version of himself on Earth, not like a in heaven sort of thing. So I think they believe even more than the LDS, they are truly in the last days. Like, I think they think any day now.
Yeah.
And many members have said as such, that they're told as such. And for a cult, that's fucking terrifying for them to say. That's like the number one indicator of something bad. I mean, look at Jamestown, Heaven's Gate, Waco. All of them believed that they were in going to that the end of the world was coming, like you said in your Heaven's Gate. Which one of you did Heaven's Gate? I think Chris.
Yeah.
Sam.
You said they would buy short tubes of toothpaste because they're like, we're not going to need it.
Yeah.
Bad sign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's always what would happen before inevitably killing hundreds or dozens of people. So, you know, I'm really hoping they can avoid that catastrophe because you never know how desperate Warren could get before he's like, Big Willie, get to it, bud. And one last question
from a previous guest host, Mikey.
Michael.
Nice. He said, I'm confused. How do the FLDS get away with polygamy if it's illegal?
Good question, Mikey.
My amateur.
Dear sweet innocent child. Isn't booze cruising and shooting hogs off the highway illegal? Do I still do it? Goddamn right. It's illegal, but it's right. They're able to avoid it by not ever certifying it certifying the marriages in any way other than declaring it within their own religion and documenting it in their own little freak records. Nothing official with the government ever, though. Ever. Other than their first wife. They have separate habitations a lot of the time, and the wives use different last names as well as the children. And these days, there's also not really any laws, because back in the day, it'd be like, you were caught cohabitating, caught motherfucking slacking. And nowadays, there's no law from preventing them from just being like, yeah, fuck. So what? We ain't married? Like, I just be laying pipe like a Mario. Mamma mia.
Just like just infidelity, right? Just
polyamorous.
Oh, yeah.
They all have pink hair. They all be doing weird shit to each other. You know,
Lots of crystals.
So it really isn't that hard, other than like a lot got screwed over by their own obsession with keeping documentation. Thank God. And thank Warren in that one. The only thing you can be thanked for, you prick. It was later found in a vault in their temple in Texas. Not in Temple, Texas. A lovely city. And lastly, we had two fucky answers. One from Justin that said, if it's the one true church on earth, shout out to Justin. No, Scientology is.
Good call, Justin.
Yep. Yeah, good call. And Rochelle asked.
Who?
Rochelle, our previous guest.
Yeah, she was on last
episode.
Yeah, bro, we forgot about her. She's gone. She said, and I quote, are they fully torqued? ! Please answer this or I will kill myself.
Oh my gosh.
And my answer to that is no comment.
He still answered.
He still answered, thank God.
The answer's yes.
Half answer. So thank you all again for your questions. We sure do appreciate them, even those two.
Those were good. They were all good.
They're great. Sorry again to you guys and to all the listeners if this was all over the place. Like, I looked back through and was like, this is everywhere. I don't know.
No, I was intrigued.
I just wanted to research the questions I had along the way. Because, like, I had original questions, like the timelines and stuff and how it started. And then that would lead to more questions because I'd be like, what's the 1953 raid? Where'd all these hundreds of assault rifles go? Mm-hmm. And it was just a vicious circle. And so there's still a ton I left out. Maybe someday, if there was ever interest, I can cover more in kind of a more detailed chronological fashion. But for now, we'll keep this as one episode. If you want to hear more, let us know, and maybe I'll cover it in my next episode. But thank you all for listening to that. Did you guys have any questions?
No.
Great job, Peyton.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
Very, very well done.
I did want to finish off this episode on a more serious note, that saying, even though this is interesting and sad to us, to these people, this is real life, something they have to deal with on a day-by-day basis and suffer through. Many individuals choose to leave with nothing but the clothes on their backs, quite literally nothing else. And it's so sad. So if you or someone you know is going through an abusive situation like this in a cult of some kind, I suggest reaching out to holdingouthelp.org. They are an organization that specializes in helping people leave polygamy and religious zealots and adapt to the outside world. If you feel unsafe and are somehow unable to get to the website, please feel free to contact them via 801-548-3492. I'll repeat that. 801-548-3492 to talk to them. And if you need someone to talk to, feel free to reach out to us via Instagram if you ever need to. We are happy to help how we can. So thank you all for listening. I want you guys to guess how many words my notes were.
I just want to say that was a great addition. Thank you for that.
That really was. Doing the good work, Ben.
Yep.
You're welcome. After hearing Lamar's son's thing, was like, holy shit. Like, it's just such a real thing. Like, these kids, I think it's harder. No one feels as bad for them because they're like 18-year-old boys versus these 12-year-olds. Yeah. But it's like, holy shit. They're literally in their brains, like 14. Mm-hmm. No one ever receives any education about the outside world. And these poor people who go into these relationships, men and women, don't get any sexual education of any kind. No. And not just like in the sense of here's what a condom is, but like in the sense of here's what a penis is, here's what a vagina is.
Here's what sex is.
Like, it's
and they have to do it, and they're and like, they have to what's going
out,
on?
And it makes me want to vomit. It's so sad. Awful. So, again, holdingouthelp.org, 801-548-3492, or The Last Resort Podcast. If you ever need to talk, we're happy to listen. So, thank you all. I hope you all are prospering, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Guess how many characters and
oh, that's right.
Words. Characters or words?
Both.
Fuck.
Words?
I'm going to say...
Just words.
I'm going to say 2,500 words.
Far ooh,
off. Off?
Way off.
I'm going to guess
45. Higher or more, less? Higher.
I'm wow. saying 4,500.
Whitney?
3,000.
Way higher. Chris is closest.
Damn.
Is it 4,500?
It's 6,000.
Oh,
5,975.
Nice. Jesus nice, Christ.
Nice, nice. He got a whole ass book report. Thank
so,
you.
And that's leaving out a lot. So
damn.
Yeah. There, it's some sick people in this world and in the state we inhabit. But hopefully we were able to shine a little bit of a light on them and answer some questions you may have had from the show or from other sources. And thank you for listening. We love you.
Hey, y'all.
Good night, Dover.
Good night, Colorado City.
Good night, Hildale.
Good night, Lapine.